This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our proactive member and get access to expert strategy guides on personal and professional development, bonus episodes, and other exclusive contents. Visit activeaction.fm for more information. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another amazing guest, which will inspire you to thrive for personal and professional development. But before going into the good stuff, I wanted to mention to you my heartfelt appreciation for sticking into the podcast and also for tuning into our episodes and providing us with valuable feedbacks that always helps us to grow and learn more and bring wonderful guests within the show. Just wanted to mention really quickly, we did start our premium supporters program, the Proactive membership. So if you are into personal and professional opportunities, if you're looking into those, feel free to visit our website and visit like Proactive Place webpage so that you can get a look at what we have for there. We do have topics and guides on personal and professional development. And also we just recently launched our course on Transform Yourself, a quick impact personal development course. But apart from that, we are very excited to have today with us Dr. Angelo Valenti. Dr. Angelo is the owner of the Company Psychologist, a consulting psychologist, coach, and author of You're Making This Way Too Hard, Find Your Easy Way to Enjoy Life. So today we are going to talk about mental health. We are going to talk about wellness. What does a successful leader looks like, how to build successful relationships, and all some of the good stuff. But before diving into that, dear Dr. Angelo, thank you so much for joining this podcast.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. As you mentioned, I'm a consulting psychologist in Nashville, Tennessee. Got my PhD from the University of Georgia, taught college for a few years. And then I've been working as an independent consultant for the last 43 years. I spend most of my time helping companies hire the right people for their unique culture. I coach leaders and aspiring leaders. And I also coach people who want to live their best, most fulfilling life and find more joy and contentment in their life.
Can I ask you, Dr. Angelo, from your experience, what is the biggest difference between a successful and unsuccessful leaders?
Sure. I think the biggest difference between a successful leader and an unsuccessful leader is where they place the focus of their energy. Successful leaders their energy is focused outward on their team and on their customers. In other words, they get their satisfaction from the success of their team, not from their own personal success. And unsuccessful leaders tend to be more internally focused on themselves and don't realize the impact that that has on their team. So if you want to be a successful leader, make your team as successful as it can be, and that'll help your success as a leader. And a lot of entrepreneurs, they started the business themselves, and up to a certain point, they can grow it themselves with some support from their team. But once it gets to a certain point, they're going to need their team to do a lot more, or it's going to stunt their growth. So it's the great leaders that can make that leap from doing a lot themselves to having a team in place that can do a lot of the things that need to be done, so that the leader can focus more on strategy, focus more on growing the business.
Thank you, Dr. Angel, for sharing that perspective. And I understand leadership actually comes also from relationship building, seeing sure. how you have that relation with your team members and the person who is following your leadership. So from your experience, what are the keys to building those successful relationships?
Well, in a work environment, it helps to learn about each person as an individual. You know, learn something about them so that when you're interacting with that person, you're treating them not as an employee or not as a cog in the wheel, but you're treating them as a real person. And I'll tell you a good story about that. I used to do a lot of work with Dollar General Corporation. I don't know if they have those in Canada, but they're all over the United States. The leader at that time was the son of the founder. Cal Turner was his name. And they were based in a small city in Kentucky. We had a meeting in the morning and we were going to go out and look at a few stores in the afternoon. And on the way from his office to his car, he had to go through the warehouse. And keeping in mind, this is a big public company.
Right.
And he knew everybody's name in the warehouse, said hello to each person, and asked them a little something about themselves or their family, how their kids were doing. Asked them sometimes, you know, is everything okay here at work? Is there anything we can do to make your job better? And he really had a personal relationship with everybody that he came into contact with between the executive offices and his car. And that really showed me that he cared about his people. And he wasn't just trying to build a business. He was trying to build people's lives along with that business.
It's a wonderful example, Dr. Angelo. And so just talking a bit about the business side of things. So what are the biggest changes you have seen in business over the last 40 years of your career?
Well, there's really two or three things that have really changed business over the last 40 years. The first is technology. I mean, 40 years ago, there wasn't any email, there wasn't any fax machines. People, if you wanted to send information to somebody else, you had to either mail it, or you could FedEx it, but it was very expensive, or you could just take it over there personally. And now the transmission of information is instantaneous now, which is both a plus and a minus. The plus is you get the information faster. The minus is you don't have as much time to think about what you're going to say, what you're going to put in a letter, what you're going to put in an email, because the person on the other end is expecting an instantaneous response. And I think we've lost a little bit of critical thinking just because people are expected to respond so much faster than was the case. The second big change is workplaces in general are much more diverse than they used to be, not only from a cultural standpoint, a racial standpoint, a geographical standpoint, but also from an age standpoint. You'd have people working in an organization in their mid-60s and in their early 20s. So it's a challenge for leaders because you can't communicate the same way with a 65-year-old as you do with a 22-year-old. So, and that's a challenge, I think, that didn't exist as much in the past, because I think the generations communicate so much more differently than one another than they used to. I mean, a 60-year-old and a 25-year-old could carry on a conversation easier 40 years ago than now, just because the generations are so segmented, they're so different.
Yeah, the change is very pivotal over here. The change in generation and how, you know, it used to be before the people's perspective. So the businesses has definitely taken like an impact. And I'm sure like you know that from your experience, you have seen those firsthand, even, you know, how digitalized the era of the business has been, and more transmitting towards like AI side of things has also like changed the landscape.
And that's a relatively recent thing. 3 years ago, nobody heard of ChatGPT. Nobody. And it really, the early adopters adopted it 2 years ago. And I think we're still in the infancy. There's still a great number of people who don't understand AI and don't use it or don't know how to use it at all. It's a very handy tool, but in a lot of cases, I don't think it's going to replace the human touch.
I agree. Yeah, for sure.
But it does make some routine tasks a lot easier.
Indeed, Dr. Angelo, I 100% agree with you that actually human touch and when speaking to one another, that's not something AI can do.
It can't pick up nonverbal cues. It can't pick up tone. It can't pick up body language. And those, you know, 80% of communication at least is nonverbal. So when you're talking to somebody face-to-face, you're picking up a lot of information based on how their facial expression reacts, how their body movements react, as I said, their tone of voice. And I think the people who try to substitute human interaction for interacting with an AI bot are going to be, it's already causing some mental health problems, but it's going to cause more mental health problems if they continue to do that.
I agree for sure, Dr. Angelo. Moving into more on the personal development side of things, I know like you as a psychologist, you have had a lot of experience talking to people and motivating themselves and on understanding what factors drive into motivating a person to do good things or to achieve their goals. So from your experience, what do you think motivates people?
Well, people are motivated by different things. Some people are motivated by relationships. They get a lot of satisfaction and energy from people. Some people are motivated by money. Some people are motivated by challenge. Some people are motivated by fear. It just varies from person to person. There are a lot of different things that motivate people. And if you really want to know what motivates a people, watch a person, watch what they do. Their behavior gives away what their motivation is. Okay, I hate to say that money isn't that important, but if a person in a business setting, for example, is just motivated by money, how are you going to keep that person if somebody's going to offer them more money to move someplace else?
That's so
true. It doesn't build a lot of loyalty. But one of the things that really motivates people that I think is underappreciated is appreciation. People want to feel seen. They want to feel appreciated for what they do. They want to feel that their worth is being recognized. And that is a very powerful motivator. You can achieve great things through people if you show them that you appreciate what they're doing. And I think a lot of businesses, a lot of business leaders, not the ineffective ones mostly, only react to people when it's something negative. They always they're telling them what they did wrong or what they need to do better instead of recognizing what they do well. And if you catch, the old saying is to catch people doing something right. If you can catch people doing something right and recognize that, you're going to get more of that right behavior.
Always appreciation does lead to like positive reinforcements and
yes,
validating that you are a good person or validating that what the good qualities within someone or what they're doing good does actually is a very important motivating factors, because they get to realize, okay, so if I'm doing something good, because there's always room and opportunity to learn. But
sure,
if I am indeed doing something right, then that actually motivates me to do more good.
Right. Yes. Yeah. If you're recognized for what you do well, it's reinforcing. It makes you want to do it more. And you don't even have to punish somebody to get less good behavior. You just have to not recognize it. You know, it's extinction. If a behavior isn't rewarded, you're going to get less of that behavior over time. And if it is rewarded, you're going to get more of that behavior.
I really appreciate that perspective, Dr. Angelo, and a new look towards, we know there are things that motivates people, but recognizing something good within someone is a thing that we often don't value that, or we often don't understand that we need to have that appreciation for another person that means a lot to them. Moving from there, we know to do well in life, have to have a goal within which you want yourself to go towards. Why is goal setting so important, and why don't more people do it often?
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
From your experience.
Well, I've been preaching this for years. I think one of the things that the education system has failed people is you should have a whole class, a whole semester class on goal setting. And I'd be surprised if you could find very many schools, especially elementary schools or junior high schools, that have goal setting as part of their curriculum. And it would be really good at the elementary school level, because little kids are sponges for knowledge. Everything's new to them. And if you can put some good ideas into their head, goal setting being one of them, they'll take to it really easy, because everything they're learning is brand new. So they learn it faster, they learn it better. But goal setting is important, because if you don't have an idea where you're going, you've got a good chance of ending up someplace else. So the people that are clearly focused on their goal are doing things every day that are getting them closer to that goal. If you have a clear goal in mind, then whatever you do during the day either is going to bring you closer to that goal, or maybe is going to take you further away from that goal. So if you don't have clear goals, pretty much whatever you do doesn't matter, because you're not going anywhere anyway. If you want to set goals, they have to be clearly articulated. They have to be achievable in a certain time frame. You have to be able to measure progress. If you can't measure it, how do you know if you're getting closer to that goal? And right. you have to take consistent steps toward that goal. You can't achieve that goal usually all at once. It takes time. So, you know, a goal without a time frame is just a wish, right? And you can't set a goal, I want to lose weight. That's not specific enough. Doesn't give you a time frame. How do you measure lose weight? Well, you know, it could be 1 pound, could be 100 pounds. But if you say, I want to lose 1 pound a week for the next 6 weeks, it's concrete, it's measurable, it's observable. And you know that if you cut 3,000 calories out of your weekly diet, you're going to lose a pound. Okay. So the more specific you are and the more clear you are in your goals, the better chance you have of achieving them.
Thank you so much, Dr. Angelo, for sharing that perspective. And in order to achieve goals, you have to have an understanding of what you were intending to achieve and how you would measure your progress or how you would keep track of that if your goal is leading towards like achieving or not? Or what are some of those roadblocks?
Well, some of the roadblocks are going to be people telling you it can't be done, or you can't do it. You're never going to. There are a lot of well-meaning people out there that are going to give you 1,000 reasons why something can't be done. So what you really want to do is not listen to them, because usually those are the people that aren't doing anything. They're not achieving much themselves. So that's one roadblock. The second roadblock is that there's going to be plateaus. It's not going to be a clear line from beginning to end when you're working on a goal. There's going to be times when there's going to be setbacks, or maybe your goal to lose 1 pound a week over 6 weeks, maybe 1 week you'll lose 2 pounds, but the next week you don't lose any. And you have to maintain that focus and not get discouraged. Discouragement is one of the main obstacles for achieving a goal. And the third obstacle is sometimes you realize that the goal you set really isn't relevant. It's not as important to you as you thought it was. And it's okay to refocus your goal or restate your goal or reframe it, however you want to say it. If you realize that what you were originally working toward isn't relevant anymore.
100%. Thank you so much, Dr. Angelo, for your perspective on that. So what can people do to increase more control over their lives, which helps them achieve something that they're wanting to do?
Well, achieving control over your life, I think, is absolutely critical, because you know, I'm sure you've read about it, the internal and external locus of control, which was from the 50s. Well, if you have an external locus of control, you believe that outside circumstances or luck or karma or randomness is responsible for what happens to you. And if you have an internal locus of control, you believe that the decisions you make, the actions you take, the way you think, controls what happens to you. And you want to develop more of an internal locus of control, because if you have an external locus of control, then the world is acting on you. You're not acting on the world. So you really don't know what's going to happen. So everything's a surprise. Sometimes it's a happy surprise. Sometimes it's an unhappy surprise. But if you have an internal locus of control, you are saying, I achieved something. If something good happens to me, I'm responsible. I did that. Conversely, if something bad happens to you in your life, you say, well, I'm responsible for that too, but I can fix it. I can change it. I can make it better. You know, just because a person's made bad decisions in the past doesn't mean they have to keep making bad decisions. You can change. If you want to change your life, change the decisions you make, right? And if you have that control over your life, you recognize that you can make the decisions that are going to lead to the positive changes that you want to.
So critical and so valuable to know, Dr. Angelo, taking the accountability, acknowledging what actually happened, but also if that's something that wasn't positive, to have a positive outlook on that and think how I can improve that.
The story about Thomas Edison, when he was working on the light bulb, I mean, he tried so many different thousands of filaments before he found one that worked. And somebody asked him, how does it feel to fail thousands of times? And he says, I didn't fail. I found thousands of things that don't work. So he was looking at, I can't get to that goal unless I try a bunch of things that might not work. That's where the people get discouraged. The best way to not achieve what you want to achieve in life is to give up, to quit. And in so many cases, people quit right before they would have had a breakthrough and they could have achieved what they wanted to achieve. Right? And the more you keep going, the fewer people you have to compete with, because so many people quit along the way. So if you just keep on going, you're making it that much easier for you to achieve the kind of success you want to achieve.
100%, Dr. Angelo. Thank you for sharing that perspective. So above all, I think it's very important to have self-awareness, but also, you know, to have self-love, you know, to love your inner self. So what do you think, what people can do to learn to love themselves more?
Well, the easiest thing to do, and I think everybody should do this, is to say nice things about yourself to yourself. If you wake up in the morning and you put on your clothes and you think you look pretty good, look in the mirror and say, "Man, you look pretty good today. Good job." Or if you accomplish something, it could be something that doesn't mean anything to anybody else but you. Say, "Good job. Way to go." I think if you say nice things, because everybody has good qualities, right? But I think people are, for some reason, aren't willing to acknowledge their good qualities. If you're a kind person, if you're a nice person, if you're a generous person, if you're a thoughtful person, recognize that about yourself and compliment yourself about it. And so many people I hear run themselves down all the time. They keep telling you, "I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. I'm a bad person." You know, even if you do a bad thing, that doesn't necessarily make you a bad person. You could be a good person that did a bad thing. So you got to separate the behavior from the person. But say nice, you know, be nice to yourself. Be kind to yourself. You know, that's a big part of self-love. The second big part of self-love is taking care of yourself. You know, try to get yourself physically in as good a shape as you can. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't have to run marathons. You don't have to lift 500 pounds. But everybody can get a little bit more exercise, eat a little bit better, get more sleep. Sleep is critically important. I'm a big fan of taking naps. If your energy's run down, take a 20-minute nap or a 30-minute nap. You'll be much more productive and you'll feel better rather than wearing yourself out so that when you go to bed, you're overtired and you can't get to sleep.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that perspective, Dr. Angel. Like, to recognize how, you know, to recognize for someone what is good for themselves, what is good for their physical health, mental health, and, you know, just work on those. Just have a little self-help and self-care. Doesn't hurt at all.
No.
Sometimes it becomes difficult if we do have a family and we do have responsibilities, but it's very critical to ensure that your health or your wellness is a priority, because if you're not feeling good, you won't make others feel good as well.
No, how are you going to take care of anybody else if you haven't taken care of yourself first, right? I mean, if you have family responsibilities, you owe it to them to be able to fulfill those responsibilities, and you can't do it if you're physically, mentally, or emotionally not where you need to be.
So true. I just want to talk a little bit about your book. I know you're the author of You Are Making This Way Too Hard, Find Your Easy Way to Enjoy Life. So
there it is. There it is right there.
Wonderful. My book. Wonderful. Can I ask you, what was your motivation to write this book? And what can, you know, people or our listeners expect to learn while reading your book?
Well, my motivation for writing the book was in my coaching and my consulting practice. I noticed that there were a lot of people who had what society says is success. Okay, at least they had all the trappings of success, the good job, plenty of money, nice house, nice family, all the things that when we look at somebody else and say, oh, they must be successful, they have all that. But they weren't enjoying life as much as, frankly, I thought they should. I mean, what good is having all that stuff if you're not enjoying your life? It molded over in my mind for a while, and I said, well, I'm just going to put my thoughts down on paper and see if I can write a little easy-to-read book, short book, that gives people some of the framework for finding more joy and contentment and inner peace. And some of the things I've talked about today are in the book. I talk a lot about self-care and self-love. I talk a lot about taking control of your life, making good decisions, building strong relationships. I have a chapter in there about your relationship with money, because people, I think, have a very distorted relationship with money that causes a lot of stress, especially this time of year, it can cause a tremendous amount of stress. So that's what people can expect. It's a roadmap to finding joy and contentment and inner peace.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Angelo, for sharing about your book and your knowledge and wisdom on human life and what we need to do to thrive in life and to have that positive outlook. And self-validation is always important. So I really appreciate your valuable perspective on those. And I'm sure our listeners will do as well.
Thank you.
Dear listeners, thank you so much for sticking into this episode and hearing some wonderful perspective from Dr. Angelo Valenti. If you do wish to learn more about our esteemed author and guest, please feel free to visit our website, activeaction.fm, and just search Dr. Angelo's profile, and you'll get his bio and links to his social and the books as well. So please feel free to check those out. Apart from that, thank you so much for joining into this episode. I hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Stay active and take action until we meet in another next episode. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Visit our website, activeaction.fm, to enjoy all episodes and other exclusive contents on self-development. Take care, stay active, and take action.